Gospel lesson this morning is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, and if you'd like to follow along, it's on page 1505 in your pew Bible. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not of more value? Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your lifespan? Why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even King Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, our hearts are open before you. You know all about each one of us. And so in our moment of worship today, I ask that your Spirit would move in us, that you would kindle within each one of us the fire of your love, and that all that we say and all that we do would give you honor and glory, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So today we are in week 3 of our 5-week series corresponding with our small group looking at half-truths, things that we say that many of us maybe think there's some biblical truth to it, but we're talking about them and looking at them and finding some problems with them and instead rephrasing some of these common terms into something a little bit more biblically faithful. Well, today is the saying that God won't give you more than you can handle. Who's heard that saying? Who said that saying? A couple of people. Not you don't want to admit it because you know that we're going to pick this apart. But thank you for the few of you who are honest. God won't give you more than you can handle. I remember when my grandfather died, he was a Baptist preacher for 51 years, had been at the same church, faithfully served God, and became ill just as soon as he retired and died. About a year after he retired. And I remember wrestling with how unfair I felt that was. Here is a man who'd served God and was just looking forward to spending time with his wife in retirement and wasn't able to do that. I remember being angry at God, and I remember standing in line at his funeral service as people were going through and many offering their condolences. And I remember someone came along and that knew how close that I was to my grandfather and put their hand on my shoulder and said, it's okay. God won't give you more than you can handle. I wanted to haul off and punch that person. But I was in church, and we don't do that. We don't do that anywhere, but maybe especially not in church. But I remember how upset that made me. But looking back, I know that that person had the right intention. They were trying to offer a little bit of comfort and say something that might alleviate the pain that we were feeling, but let me tell you, it actually had the opposite effect. It sort of added to the pain and the confusion and the grief, because what does that say about God? If in a moment of grief and sadness and distress, someone says, well, God won't give you more than you can handle, the implication is that God has given this to you. Maybe to test you. For some other reason, maybe unknown to us, but I think one of the problems with this statement is that it sends a particular message about how we understand God and our relationship to God and how God works in the world today. This statement, to me, is not a whole lot different than the one that we looked at in our first week, everything happens for a reason. It's similar in that, think of the context in which you have either said God won't give you more than you can handle, or the context in which that has been said to you. Usually in times of grief, right? Sorrow, sadness, loss, maybe the loss of a marriage or a job or financial difficulty, the death of a loved one. God won't give you more than you can handle. The roots of this saying, biblically, I think come from the scripture that Barb shared with us from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, if we go to that scripture a little bit, we hear these words, which have often been turned into this sentiment that God won't give you more than you can handle. Hear the scripture. Read it again. No testing has come to you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. Did you hear in that scripture the Apostle Paul say that God has given you this test? Do I need to read the scripture again? No testing has overtaken you that is not common to people. God is faithful. He will not let you be tested beyond your strength, but with the testing, he will give you a way out so that you may be able to endure it. Well, that's a whole lot different than saying that God won't give you more than you can handle. Now, if we look at, if we think about the scripture from 1 Corinthians and the audience to which Paul was writing to Christians in the city of Corinth. Now, if any of you know a little bit about the ancient city of Corinth, Corinth was sort of the center for pagan temple worship. And in the pagan temple worship, sexual practices, polyamory, all sorts of different things happened as part of the temple ritual. And so these are people who have turned to follow the way of Jesus. They've started to get together. Churches are being developed, but they're being tempted to go back into some of the practices out of which they came. And so Paul knows this, that this is a real thing for them, that they're being tempted to go back into an old lifestyle. And so Paul writes to them, and at the very beginning of what Barb read in that scripture, he looks back to some examples from ancient Israel, with the story of the Exodus and things that happened as the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And he says, look at these things that happened. This is an example to not follow particular lifestyles and particular practices. And then he says, even what you find yourselves in now, the temptation that you're in, it's not that God gave it to you, but that in the midst of it, God will be with you. And that God will give you a way to be able to manage it and to endure it. If you think about that in your own life, temptation. I think we do a pretty good job about finding ourselves into temptation without God's help, right? At least I know that I do. I think that's part of the human condition, right? We easily find ourselves there. But whether it's temptation, whether it's something that maybe by our own choices that we've gotten ourselves into, or maybe it's something external to us, the death of a loved one or something tragic, when we find ourselves in that spot where we just don't know what to do, not that God gave us that to tempt us or to try us or to test us. But I believe in the midst of it, God will be with us and God is working. Even when we might feel like there's no way out, I believe that if we look to God, we will find a way. There's two particular things about this saying that God won't give you more than you can handle that I find really problematic. The first one is, if you're in a situation where you feel like you just can't handle it, and have you been there? I've been there. Where you just don't know what to do and you feel like you can't take any more. Perhaps one of the implications of the statement, God won't give you more than you can handle, is if you find yourself in that spot and you just can't handle it, well, maybe that means you don't have enough faith. Maybe that means there's a spiritual deficiency on your part. Do you see where this statement can lead us? Well, that probably isn't the case at all. But if we truly believe that God has given this to us to test us, and we just feel like we can't go on any further, it can send a very dangerous message about the role of faith in our lives. Faith is not a proverbial genie in the bottle to rub and to get our wishes. Not what faith is about. Faith is about having the endurance and the trust in God to make it through the tough time. The second thing that this statement says to us is, God won't give you more than you can handle. Well, you know what? If we can handle things just fine all by ourselves, then why do we need God? If we're strong enough on our own, if things are coming our way and we're just fine, why do we need to depend on God? Why do we need to pray? Why do we need the strength of faith if we're handling it just fine on our own? You see, on both sides of this statement, it's problematic. So I want to rephrase this statement. And I have little cards here that I'm going to pass out to you. Darren, can I get your help in just a minute? You take one and pass this down. This is, we have rephrased this statement. Darren, if you'll take this side over here, let me give you a group of these to pass out. Instead of God won't give you more than you can handle, I want us to think about it this way, and this is the encouragement that I would give you if you're going through a difficult time or if someone you love is. Instead of saying God won't give you more than you can handle, how about this? God will help you handle all that you've been given. God will help you handle all that you've been given. Do you see how that changes this statement just a little bit? God will help you handle all that you've been given. It changes the statement about how we understand God. But what it also does is that it to me, gets to one of the core things about faith, which is that even in the midst of hardness, hardship, of tragedy, of loss and sorrow, what this tells us is that God is with us. Psalm 46, which we read responsively today, looks to God and said that God is our help in time of trouble, a present help in time of trouble. So I'd like you to, if I could take this and maybe post it where you find yourself frequenting the most. Now for me, that might be the refrigerator. Speaking of temptation, that might be the refrigerator. Maybe it's a bathroom mirror. Maybe it's, if you can do this safely, maybe it's on the dashboard of your car. Don't read this and drive, right? Don't text and drive. Don't read this and drive. But put this somewhere where you're going to see it. And I invite you, the next time you feel like life is just overwhelming, that you just can't handle all that life has given you, if you're grasping at something to get you out of it, turn to God, because God will help you handle all that you've been given. Amen. Sisters and brothers, as you leave this morning, I give you this benediction, and I want to remind you of a couple words of Scripture that I read, and I invite you to carry this with you throughout the week, no matter what you're going through. Hear these words of promise. Strive first for the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. So go forward strengthened by the love of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.